spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Alphabet of Life, was written by Peter Lyon. It is presented as part of the national observance of Hebrew Month. To tell our story today, we must ask you first to imagine you're listening to a conversation that took place many centuries ago, nearly 40 centuries ago. Actually, we don't even know for sure what language the men talking used. We do know the men were educated and literate, that they were sofrim, scribes, that they were in a town on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean, probably in Palestine, and therefore that they were Semitic in origin. They must have had several talks, these men. And toward the end, they must have said something like this.
You know, there's really only one problem.
What's that?
How to spread this idea, get it used.
My friend, you are needlessly gloomy. These symbols will travel abroad by themselves and want no push from us. They will travel like a star shooting through the heavens.
I hope you're right.
I know I am right. Why? Because thanks to these symbols, these little fish hooks, all will be able to read and to write.
Mm-hmm.
Not simply the kings and the priests and the members of the nobility, but everyone, even the children.
Mm.
And when all can read, when all can write, when each man can transmit an idea to each other, at that point, my friend, man will have taken a gigantic stride towards understanding. And where there is understanding, there can be peace. And where there is peace, there will be brotherhood.
A big dream.
Yes. And these scratches, these fish hooks, they will live. Maybe not exactly as we have set them down. Others may change the symbols to fit their own particular needs. But in one form or another, they will live. Because they make it possible for everyone to share in one big dream. And because they make it possible for the dream to be a reality.
I pray you're right.
Then we are agreed on these symbols? And agreed to start their use at once?
For my part, yes. Read them out to me. I want to make a table of them to send to our friends in Byblos. First is...
The first is Allah.
These men were at the final stage of one of the world's greatest inventions, the alphabet. Their first alphabet would be germinal for every alphabet the world has ever known. Every other alphabet, living and dead, was to stem from this one first system. Eastward into India and as far as the Pacific, westward via Phoenicia and Greece and Rome to Europe and the whole Western world, south to Arabia and the Muslim world, their invention was to spread, changing to fit the needs of each man's tongue, bringing light to the world. The number of the letters, the order of the letters, would change from people to people, and so would the characters, the symbols. But in at least one tongue, they would remain substantially the same down through the ages. The same 22 letters in the same order. For the first is still...
Alles, as in Av, meaning father, principal, creator. M, meaning mother. Alles, as in Ahava, meaning love. As in Aviv, meaning springtime.
Yes, and as in Urim, which means light. 3,500 years later, that was the thought in the mind of one of the founders of Yale College in the fledgling colony of Connecticut, in the land which would become the United States of America.
Urim means light, and Tumim means truth. Urim v'Tumim, light and truth. What better motto could we have?
Well, I like it, but...
I recommend that we use those words as part of the seal of our college, sir. A picture of an open Bible and spread across its pages those words. Urim v'Tumim.
You don't think it perhaps a little special? Of course, I recognize that it's the language
special?
Of...
Special?
Well, what I mean is the language is dead, and I rather
Hebrew,
think...
a dead language, sir? How can the language of the Holy Scriptures be dead? How can any language which is so freighted with... Well, with...
Light and truth?
Exactly. Hebrew is a language with a purpose, sir. Such a language will never die.
Yes, yes. Well, of course, I'm not a scholar like the rest of you gentlemen, but I'm aware of the importance of the influence of Hebrew. I don't want you to...
John,
think...
we came to America so that we might be free, we and our children, to live our lives according to the scriptural truth as we knew it. It's the basis of our life.
Fine, fine. Agreed. Dare say it'll make a very handsome seal for our college. Urim v'Tumim.
And an early president of the same college wrote in his diary,
of 39 freshmen, 22 have asked for instruction in Hebrew. This glorious language which throws more light on the scriptures than all the commentators. More light and more truth.
And of the letters that the scribes set down 4 millenniums ago, the second in order is still...
Bet, as in Boker, meaning morning, and as in Bahir, meaning bright.
Yes, and as in Bracha, meaning blessing. It is told in the legend that before God created the world, the letters of the alphabet came to him as petitioners, each pressing the claim that the Lord should create the world through him. One after another, the letters eagerly demanded the honor, only the letter Bet hanging back, until at last the Lord asked that Bet, too, speak up. Then said Bet,
O Lord, may it be thy will to create the world through me, seeing that all the dwellers of the world will give praise daily unto thee through me. As it is said, Baruch, blessed be the Lord forever.
And the Holy One, blessed be he, granted Bet's petition and created the world through Bet, in evidence whereof it is written, Bereshit bara Elohim, which is to say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Third and fourth letters are...
Gimel and Dalet, as in Geshem, meaning rain, fertility, and Deya, meaning knowledge.
After which, in order, comes...
Who?
I beg your pardon, little girl.
That's not the way I learned how to remember the alphabet.
Oh, what was your way?
When I learned the alphabet and we got to Gimel and Dalet, we were taught a much better way of remembering them. shall I?
Go ahead.
Gimel and Dalet, as in the two words Gimel Dalet.
Mm-hmm, which mean?
Be benevolent to the poor. Why is the face of the Dalet turned away from the Gimel?
I don't know.
I do.
Why?
To teach that charity should be performed in secret. So as not to make the one you're giving to feel ashamed.
Very true. Thank you very much. And don't go away. Maybe you'll be able to be of help to us again. Fifth letter is...
Hey, as in hallelujah, meaning praise the Lord.
And the letter Hey is often used as the initial which stands for the Lord's name, for the name of the ineffable one. Which leads to an interesting point. The Hebrew word ish means man. Add to ish the letter he, which signifies the name of God, and the word ish, meaning man, becomes isha, which means woman. The next letter is...
Vav.
Oh, yes. Now, Vav is a remarkable letter with a remarkable set of functions. This one letter transforms the future into the present. It is the servant of the alphabet, assisting all the other letters to perform their duties. It connects and it separates, bringing together the things which should be united, keeping apart those which should not be together. The one letter which endows the other letters with new meaning. Next comes Zion, Chet, and Tet.
Let me tell about
that. Well, back again, miss?
Yes. Zion, Chet, and Tet. As in Zanotah, Hanotah, and Metiv Lecha.
Mm-hmm. Which means?
The rewards for benevolence to the poor. It means if you've been charitable, the Lord will sustain you, be gracious to you, and benefit you.
And Tet also stands for Tov and for Ta'am, which means good sense, little girl, which is what you've just spoken. Now, next comes a very little letter, which is called Yod. Once upon a time, there was a wise rabbi who said, one Yod is a small thing, an insignificant thing. One Yod stands for one man. Write it down on the page. So, you see how small it is? Over here, on the other side of the page, write another Yod. Again, it is unimportant. A second man, no more. But now, put the two Yods together, and at once, now that they are standing together, they are changed. For now they signify the greatest of glories. For two Yods stand for the name of the one God. Blessed be He. Eleventh letter is...
Kaf, as in Kavod, meaning honor, and Kisharon, meaning talent.
And twelfth letter is...
Lamed, as in Lamdan, meaning scholar, and Lomed, meaning learn, and Lashon, meaning language.
Yes, and Lamed as in Luach, which means tablet. The kind of tablets that archaeologists still find after the most diligent searching and which shed light on all our past. Not so long ago, in 1938... two archaeologists stood at Tel Aduer, the town in southern Palestine, which stands on the site of the ancient walled city of Lachish. It was the last day of their expedition.
Just when I feel I'm beginning to know the place, we are...
What is it?
Hold on, give me a hand here, will you?
Say...
It is something, isn't it? I stumbled on it.
Better get some fixative if you can't tell about these stone tablets.
Look at those characters.
Hebrew letters. Look. Look at these five. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey.
8th century B.C.E. So,
you know what this must be? A schoolboy was learning his ABCs on the stone. See? He looked like a youngster scribbling.
Learning his ABCs.
2,700 years ago.
Right. That's good. You're right. You must be. The way the letters are formed, this was scratched here by some schoolboy. I was thinking...
Yes?
What a blessing, the alphabet. You know? Just because some bright citizen thought of the idea of an alphabet, this schoolboy could scratch out his lesson and learn to write. Think what a world if all of us were still stuck with picture words like the Chinese, so that only a few could read, and most of those few could read only a few hundred words.
But it isn't the idea of the alphabet itself that's important. It's what the alphabet enables us to say to each other. Those bright citizens you were talking about, they had to invent an alphabet because they had something important they wanted to tell the world. Their alphabet was only a technique. It was their message that drove them to it.
Right. And they wanted to be sure everybody would be able to understand them, not just the few.
In the ancient alphabet, after Lamed comes...
Mem, as in menorah, the seven-stick candelabra, and as in mitzvah, which means the precept, the right thing, that which is commanded.
But Mem stands as well for the word mum, an affliction, a handicap, for Baal mum, which is to say a person afflicted. There is a great American woman who is afflicted. From the day she was born, she has been deaf, dumb, and blind. But her great heart and mind have enabled her to vault over these handicaps. It came to pass not so long ago that this woman visited with Jewish friends on a holiday. She came with her companion, her interpreter. And at length, When the time approached for the evening meal, her interpreter tapped the message with her fingertips.
Our host is taking his place at the head of the table. In just a moment, he will pronounce the blessing.
All right.
Would you wait just a moment, please?
Certainly.
Now it is the deaf and dumb woman whose fingertips are drumming out a message.
She wishes to know, would you mind if she touched your throat with her fingers as you say the blessing? It is her way of listening.
Why, no, of course not. I shouldn't mind at all. On the contrary. All right?
Yes, fine.
Baruch ata Adoshem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz.
I must say that was a unique experience for me. Did she understand it?
She says this is the way she usually listens to English. English he is familiar with. It is a concise language. Very clipped and clear. It bites and cuts and dances. But this is the first time she has listened so to Hebrew. She says Hebrew is a different language. She says it has the surging of the sea. It flows in torrents. There is eternity in it, and loneliness, and grandeur. It is timeless, like the sea, and like the mountains. She says, not until now did she understand the Bible, and why the Bible is eternal.
After Mem comes Nun, as in Netzach, which means eternity, and as in Navi, meaning prophet.
Yes, and if you will forgive the personal note, Nun as in Ner Tamid, which is to say the eternal light. The next letters are Samach and Ayin. Samach as in...
Let me tell, I know.
Well, all right, little girl. More good sense, I hope, huh?
Samach and Ayin, as in so many onions.
Which means...
Support the needy.
Again?
It is still not again. And why not?
Why not, indeed. Now, after Ayin comes...
Pei, as in Purim, and in Pesach, meaning Passover, and as in Poel, which means worker.
Yes, and as in Pei, which means mouth. A mouth lifted to heaven in prayer. Now, the tale is told of a certain peasant who, on the eve of Yom Kippur, said to himself...
First, I am commanded to eat and drink on the afternoon of this holy day. Afterwards, I shall climb on my horse and reach the city in time for the services at the synagogue.
So, after his meal, he harnessed his horse and rode off toward the city. But in the forest, he lost his way. The sun set. The night of Kol Nidre arrived and found him still in the forest.
I shall have to remain here alone tonight and all tomorrow.
Nor did the peasant have an atonement day prayer book with him so that he could not recite the prayers. The peasant wept bitterly.
Oh, Lord, blessed be thy name. What shall I do?
He was a devout man and sorely distressed at his plight. There in the forest darkness of the night, he thought. And he remembered a line from one of the Psalms.
The words of the Lord can be combined. The words of the Lord can... Why not? I shall recite the alphabet. And you, O master of the universe, must combine the letters into syllables and words. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav.
So, his mouth lifted to heaven in prayer, the peasant went on through the alphabet. And are you not sure that the Lord combines the peasant's letters into a prayer? The next letter is
Tzaddi, as in tzedek, meaning righteousness, and as in tzaddik, a saintly man.
There was once an old rabbi, a saintly man, a tzaddik, for whom the suffering of others was a constant concern. And he was asked,
Rabbi, have you not enough problems? Why do you insist on sharing the suffering of others?
The tzaddik replying,
Share the suffering of others? I do not share. It's my own. How can I help but suffer?
After Tzadik come
Kuf and Resh. Kuf as in...
Kuf as in Kadosh, meaning holy. And Resh as in Rasha, meaning wicked.
You're interrupting, young lady.
And when you write the letters Kuf and Resh down on the page, why is it that Kuf seems to turn its face away from Resh?
Why?
For the Holy One says, I cannot look upon the wicked. But...
But?
The foot of the Kuf is turned toward the Resh.
Mm-hmm, so?
For the Holy One, blessed be He, says, if the wicked repent, I will place a crown upon him like my own. That's what I learned in my lesson.
And I'm sure you'll remember it. After Resh comes...
Shin, as in shalom, meaning peace.
Yes, and as in shir, which means a song.
When you are older grown, oh, my little ones, you will one day know all the tender love and all the burning hope that in these letters glow. All the tender love and all the burning hope that in these letters glow. Well, remember, precious ones, letters of God's law. Sent ye once again, and yet once again, come at Alevo. Sent ye once again, and yet once again, come at Alevo.
The last letter of this germinal alphabet is Taf,
as in Torah, the written law, and as in Talmud, the oral law.
And, little girl, I'm sure you know something more about the letter Taf, huh?
The first letter of the alphabet, Aleph, the middle letter, Mem, and the last letter, Taf. Together they spell Emet.
Which means?
Emet means truth, and truth has a firm foundation in the beginning, middle, and the end of the alphabet.
You speak truth, little girl. For this alphabet, this Hebrew alphabet, is the bones of the language in which mankind was first taught an absolute truth. The truth of service to one's fellow man. The truth that the greatest good lies in doing only unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you. It is the truth that must have been in the minds of the Sofrim, the early teachers and scribes who first invented the system of the alphabet, that the greatest ideal, the ideals of peace and brotherhood, can best be expressed in the simplest of all forms, the alphabet. The alphabet of life.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Samuel T. Borofsky, National President of the Histadrut Ivrit, the Hebrew Language and Culture Association.
The alphabet of life, the theme of the program to which you have just listened, is timely and appropriate during the season of Hebrew month observance. The originality and ingenuity which the people of Israel summoned to the creation of a primitive alphabet, germinal for every alphabetic writing the world has known, the same ingenuity and resourcefulness was applied to the development of a Hebrew language into a rich and classical tongue. In Hebrew, our early fathers and ancient prophets revealed their most intimate experiences and visioned the hopes of humanity to the end of days. The universal truth uttered by them in Hebrew bear the stamp of eternity. They are valid for all peoples everywhere and are translatable into any alphabet or tongue. A spiritual and cultural legacy cast in Hebrew was bequeathed to many religions and civilizations and influence them profoundly. This legacy is an inseparable part of the matrix of the Anglo-Saxon world and of our own country. It gave inspiration to early colonial pioneers and fashioned the form and content of the American way of life today. Hebrew molded the character of the Jewish people and its destiny. It enriched Jewish life and helped preserve Jewish identity throughout the ages. Its dramatic renaissance in recent times has been a potent factor in the emergence of the State of Israel. Today, Hebrew is unifying the divergent elements streaming into Israel from all corners of the earth into one cohesive, creative entity. Under the impact of the dynamics of modern Israel, Hebrew is becoming invigorated and expanded with the transfusion of new vocabulary and new forms of expression. The language of the Bible will once again give voice to the new cultural and spiritual adventures of Israel reborn to benefit Jewry and the world at large.
Thank you, Mr. Borofsky. Eternal Light Drama today, The Alphabet of Life, was written by Peter Lyon and was presented as part of the national observance of Hebrew Month. Alexander Scorby was featured as the narrator and Joan Lazer as the little girl. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the vocal soloist. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.